Today we are reading a very short, simple, and profound psalm. Jody will sing the refrain to an arrangement of Psalm 131, and we'll sing the whole song together after the message. Listen to Psalm 131. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Calm, quiet, content, like a child, a soul at peace. This psalm, this prayer has been so helpful to me this week. For this has not been a quiet and calm week. Maybe not for you either. I needed to be reminded to quiet myself. I have to admit, there are days when I don't feel much at peace. I can get so caught up in all the busy details of life or in trying to do my job well. I might be working to write something that will make an impression, or have a conversation that will make a difference, or visit with someone and see their lives change. I don't consider myself a particularly ambitious person, and yet I do want to make an impact. I would like to succeed. How about you? Do you want to succeed? Do you want to get a spot on the varsity team, or write a masterful lesson plan, or climb the corporate ladder, or run your business so well you need to plan for expansion? Now, none of these things are wrong on their own, of course, but they can become so all-consuming with our energies focused on these ambitions. And sometimes in our own striving for success, we may look around and notice that other people just aren't cutting it. They can't seem to do their job as well as we can, or they don't have our ambition to change the world, or maybe they don't keep their house as tidy, or their kids aren't as smart, or their clothes aren't as trendy, or wait a minute there. We need to watch where we are looking. Are our eyes cocked at such an angle that we're looking down on others? Those haughty eyes? Or do we seek our own importance? Are we becoming arrogant? With Psalm 131 in mind, John Goldingay, a professor at Fuller Seminary, warns against seeing ourselves as godlets. He says the difference between God and us is that God never thinks he is us. God never thinks he is us, but So the wise person flees becoming important. Knowing it is almost certain to mean peril and downfall, he says. Psalm 131 reminds us that we ought not to be ambitious or proud or haughty, but we should have souls that are quiet and at rest in the Lord. Now, Psalm 131 is one of the songs of ascents. This set of psalms from Psalm 120 through 124 may have been sung by the people of Israel as they went on their pilgrimage up to Jerusalem for the holy feast days. And these songs express their praise and their longings as they journey, as they prepare to meet the Lord in worship. Right before this psalm is Psalm 130, which is a prayer for God's help. We used it as our prayer of confession today. Psalm 130 says, "Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. With you is forgiveness." It says, "I wait for the Lord. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with him is unfailing love." That Psalm 130 cry for help, which ends with waiting for the Lord, encourages all of us to put our hope in the Lord. And then comes Psalm 131, which teaches us a way to live with that kind of trust in the Lord. Charles Spurgeon said about Psalm 131, "This is one of the shortest psalms to read, but one of the longest to learn." Yes, it takes a lifetime to learn to live into Psalm 131. It is indeed a challenge to quiet ourselves, to be content in the Lord, like a child at rest. Psalm 131 reminds us to have our hearts in the right place when we put our hope in the Lord, to come with hearts that are not proud or haughty, souls that are still, with trust in the Lord. We need to become like a weaned child. "O Lord, I will rest in you," we say. Now, I have to tell you, I have loved this psalm for a long time. And lately, it has come to mind again for another reason. We have a beautiful grandchild, and she is lovingly nursed by her mother. And she is almost always happy and content to play in our laps or nearby. Yet, when she gets hungry or tired, well, sometimes we can tell that she wants her mother for sustenance and comfort. Now, these past couple of weeks, Leona has reached a new stage in life. She started crawling all over. And she eats blueberries and yogurt. Life is changing for her parents and for us when we take care of her. She's discovering a taste of independence. She's not weaned yet, but that will come. And it helps me to imagine again what Psalm 131 is teaching us. A weaned child is no longer an infant, not even really a baby anymore. You might think of a toddler. In some cultures, a child isn't even weaned until 4 or 5 years old. We're talking about a young child who is discovering independence. A weaned child no longer depends on her mother for nourishment. A weaned child is usually able to walk or even run away from her mother. A weaned child will say to his mother, "I do it myself." A weaned child loves his independence. Even so, there are times a weaned child will gladly choose to be in their mother's arms. When that child is hurt, she runs to her mother. When that child is afraid, he calls out for his mother. In such moments, a weaned child will happily snuggle in his mother's lap. A weaned child knows that her mother loves her and wants to protect her. A weaned child trusts that their mother wants the best for their child. So you've seen this little gizmo that I tried to use for our Amy. Amy was a precocious baby. She learned to walk at about 9 months and was running all over the place by 10 months, and I loved her adventurous nature. Yet it made life a little tricky. At church, after our morning Bible studies, the older women would chuckle as they watched me chasing her all over the parking lot, saying, "That child would keep me young." When I took Amy to the mall, she'd set her own pace and quickly get away from me. I didn't want her to get hurt or lost, so I thought that this might be a good solution, but it didn't really work out so well, as I've already shared. She'd still go off on her merry way between people and racks of clothes, and we'd get all tangled up. That is sometimes what it's like for a toddler. A young child who is weaned explores the world around her, chases after many things, and often gets tangled up in the process. Of course, it's not always like that, even with a weaned child. Even Amy, when she felt calm, she would snuggle in my arms and we'd read books together for hours. If she was hurt or sad, she'd climb into my lap in the rocking chair and I'd sing to her, often the song, "My Favorite Things." Even my inquisitive and active child could find contentment in her mother's arms. And that is what the psalmist says our souls should be like. We should be quiet and still, like a weaned child with his mother, a child at peace, who says, "O Lord, I will rest in you." Now, most of you here are not toddlers anymore, so how does this connect to you? How are you like a weaned child? I believe God uses all kinds of situations to wean us. You younger children and even teenagers, if you had some anxiety about going back to school after a whole summer of being at home with your parents, maybe you have a little sense of being weaned again. I wonder, after a long day with your classmates and your teachers trying to learn important things, do you sometimes want to just run to your father or mother to snuggle and talk about your day? Now, some of our children, our students, are leaving home, going off to college, or going off to work, and that's also a bit like being weaned. You're still somewhat attached to your parents and to your home and your friends, almost like there's a cord that keeps you connected to them. Yet you'll learn to figure out how to be independent, to explore new places and new ideas. You'll learn how to set your own priorities, and soon you may feel like you're chasing after great matters, even thoughts beyond you. Others of you may be facing a shift in your employment. You may have to leave familiar surroundings and establish new routines and relationships. Maybe you're even facing retirement, and you will soon have to wean yourself from what has been your life's work. Or maybe you've had to make a big move. We've done that a few times in recent years. When we moved to Ludington, we had to sort through everything we'd collected over 25 years as we raised our kids. And we had to discern what was trivial and what was important. And we needed to wean ourselves from many things. I have to confess, we're still working through that with each move since, and even still more in our basement. And lately, we've been doing something similar as we help my parents move. Many of us need to learn to let go of things. And we might need this reminder to be content. And I wonder whether all of us at Neyland could look at our current circumstances and consider how Psalm 131 applies to us as a congregation. As we concern ourselves with important questions, do we continue to hope in the Lord and content ourselves with the right attitude? As we stand against racism and work for justice, as we plan for solar panels and ways to reduce, reuse, recycle, as we welcome the gifts of all kinds of people, including our deacon, and speak up for a broader understanding of God's love for all who long to serve God with their whole selves. Some people think we're being arrogant by doing things our own way. And yet we do believe that we are following the Spirit's direction in all these matters. Even so, we may need to quiet ourselves and ask for the Spirit to calm us, so that we will be able to speak and act with humility and godly compassion, especially when we begin meeting with our denominations in loco committee. From the time that God created human beings, God gave us independence, opportunities to pursue many good things, and even the choice to do things that might get us tangled up. God grants us this kind of freedom. And at the same time, the Lord wants us to put our hope and trust in Him, to recognize that all good things come from His fatherly hand, from God's mothering heart. This psalm reminds us where we belong, with quiet and peaceful souls, as though resting in our mother's arms. Even in our grown-up independence, we can become like children. We can choose to cultivate a calm spirit, trusting humbly in our Heavenly Father. We can spend quiet time with the Lord, as many of you learned to do during your week at Ganey Ranch. Quiet time with the Lord, like a child who says, "Oh Lord, I will rest in you." And Jesus himself, though he was in very nature God, took on the nature of a servant. He humbled himself when he came from heaven to earth as a child. And throughout his life, he was not haughty, nor did he strive after vain things. He often sought quiet communion with his Father in heaven. And he taught us to become like little children. And finally, Jesus was obedient to his heavenly Father and went to the cross for our sake because he put his trust in God. He died so that we can live again, restoring us to that trusting relationship with God. Because of Jesus Christ, we do have hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. So friends, in the midst of these overwhelming and chaotic times, refrain from chasing after things beyond you. Don't get yourself tangled up. Instead, cultivate a quiet soul, like that of a weaned child in its mother's arms, and put your trust in God. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, we ask for your help. Help us to quiet ourselves. Help us not to be proud or haughty, but to become like a weaned child, a trusting child, knowing how much you love us and care for us, so that we may put our hope in you. In Jesus' name.